all to the second half of the second day of our international conference Unnati Wealth in Health. I, Harshita.
And I, Anubhav.
Welcome you once again.
Our guest is Mr. Radhesham Das, President ISKCON Pune, President of Pune branch of ISKCON, with a community of over 5,000 members, currently about to open a new Vedic cultural center in February 2013. Director of Vedic Voices for Inspiration Culture Education that offers training programs for character buildup of youth and has branches of all the prominent IITs, NIITs and engineering colleges across India. It has over 2,000 youth committed to leading a life of purity, simplicity, character, ideal behavior, and trained to take up leadership right from their college days.
He holds an M.Tech from IIT Bombay and has been a top ranker during his college. After working with CECRI as a senior research and as a mechanical engineer at Thermax and Mather and Platt companies for a few years, he decided to join the Celibate Order as a youth mentor and corporate advisor. He offers several non-sectarian attitude-building seminars for leaders on managing and balancing one's emotions and lifestyles, such as stress management, art of self-management, anger management, time management, and etc., in colleges and companies for youth, managers, as well as leaders. These seminars are based on timeless universal principles from wisdom literatures like Chanakya Niti, Panchatantra, Mahabharata, and etc., offering simple and practical tips for effective living.
His various books includes his 5-volume series on spirituality for modern youth, consisting of Discover Yourself, Your Best Friend, etc., is a scientific and logical presentation of Vedic scriptures for clarifying the typical doubts of modern youth. His 5-volume series on Essence of Bhagavad Gita is an internationally used series of 5 courses in reaching out the message of Gita to the educated class of people. ISKCON conferred upon him the Global Excellency Award for the year 2004 for teaching Gita in a systematic and scientific manner for the modern youth, and Jiva Goswami Award in 2006 for his valuable contribution to innovative youth preaching.
I would now request our chairman, sir, Mr. Sukhdev Sharma, to felicitate Radhesham, sir. Our next guest is Mr. John Gray, sir, from California. He is a BA from University of California. He is also an MA from Rochester Institute of Technology, New York, in photography. He is also known as Yadubara Das. He met Srila Prabhupada in December 1970 in Surat, India. He was doing his master's degree in photography on the subject of the origins of Krishna consciousness in India. Yadubara Prabhu had come with several cameras, and pretty soon his divine grace allowed him to accompany the traveling party for 2 months. From the very start, Yadubara felt immensely privileged to take photos of Prabhupada, even though he was considered an outsider. But slowly he felt himself becoming a devotee and stayed in India for 2.5 years, taking initiation in Kolkata in 1971.
Now I request Mr. John Grasser to address us.
And before that, we would like our chairman, sir, Mr. Sukhdev Sharma, to felicitate Mr. John Grasser.
Now I request Mr. John Grasser to address us.
Thank you so much for inviting us today. I feel very privileged to be here. This is actually quite a revolutionary topic in the educational institutions, at least in the West, because so much emphasis is placed on simply the education and not developing the individual as a whole. So myself, I wasn't looking for spiritual life. I was doing an assignment back in 1970, the summer, and I was asked to cover the Hare Krishna movement in New York. So I did that, and first time I went to the temple, I was quite attracted to the philosophy, to the food, to the kindness of the devotees. So that was Prabhupada's creation in the West, is to develop temples, develop devotees, and purify their hearts. Back in those days, many of us were seeking a better life than just materialism. We wanted something higher. We didn't know what exactly that was. But Prabhupada came at a very opportune time when many, many people were seeking a better life than just materialism. And he actually came with the Maha Mantra. That was his main way of spreading Krishna consciousness. And the first devotees who met him, most of them met him when he was chanting Hare Krishna in a New York park. He came with no money, practically. He didn't know many people. He tried to preach in middle-class America for about a month in Pennsylvania. That did not, people were very, didn't really know what to make of Swamiji at that time. But he went to New York, and he went to the Lower East Side, where there were many young seekers. And he simply sat down and chanted in the park, Tompkins Square Park. And by that purifying sound vibration, so many people came. So later on, after Radhesham Prabhu speaks, we're going to be chanting. I'll be leading us in the kirtan. Actually, kirtan has become very, very popular in the West. There are many, many concerts with just kirtan. And people are even paying to go to these concerts to participate in kirtan. So actually, Prabhupada brought the Maha Mantra to the West, and he freely distributed it. There was no price to pay. And it's quite amazing for me to think back then how the movement would be today. It's beyond my imagination, actually, to see what Prabhupada has started. It will definitely go around the world, and it has already. Even China, even in Russia, we have temples, followers. So these principles are very important to follow. We follow four principles: no eating meat, fish, or eggs, no illicit sex outside, only in marriage, no outside relationships, no gambling, and no intoxication. Actually, intoxication is so widespread these days. And it actually produces quite a selfish mentality. The purpose of intoxication, people are trying to become happy. So they go for intoxication, but actually it produces the opposite result we've seen. So you're very fortunate to have leaders that are interested in developing the students as a whole to develop their character. And we're very, very happy to be here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
I would now like Mr. Radhesham Das to address us.
Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanate Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya
Chakshuhunmelitam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. First of all, I would like to offer my namaskar to my spiritual master who brought me out of the region of darkness by lighting my heart with the torchlight of knowledge. Respected teachers and organizers and all of you friends, I'm very happy to be here this afternoon, and I would first of all like to congratulate the authorities of the college for putting up such a wonderful program which is very timely in your life. Just last few days I have been going to many companies for doing stress management seminars for the top class managers who are 15, 20 years old in the jobs. I was doing a seminar for the Idea Mobile company, just 12 top managers sitting in a circle for a stress management seminar. But every 5 minutes they were getting mobile calls. So I told them, I will only do the seminar for you provided you switch off the mobiles for the next 3 hours. So life becomes extremely fast-paced as you move from your college to the company. Although you will be given a very fat salary to fill up your pocket, it will not fill your hearts unless you know the values of life. So I appreciate your authorities of the college who have taught it in a very timely way and organizing this 3-day wonderful program for health. One time, my spiritual master, His Holiness Radhanath Swami, was traveling in a plane, and Menaka Gandhi was also traveling by the same plane. So when they got off the plane, she asked a question to him, Swamiji, what are you doing for the environment of the world? Because you are all Swamiji's. Now you may be sitting and doing bhajan. What are you doing for the world? So my spiritual master told her, you are working for the external environment and we are working for the internal environment. He said, unless you make your heart clean, you cannot make this world clean outside. So many organizations are throwing effluents and chemicals into the rivers, which is externally visibly seen. But they do so because of an exploitative mentality in their hearts. So there is a bhoga vritti, there is seva vritti. Exploitative mentality, serving mentality. So there are 4 types of thoughts. Positive thoughts, negative thoughts, necessary thoughts, and wasteful thoughts. Today, as a part of my speech, I will devote more time on mental health, because mental health has a direct relationship with physical health also. Because one doctor rightly said, mind attacks the body and body attacks the mind, and it is a vicious cycle back and forth unless you take some steps to rectify the mind. So I am going to focus on this, because if your mind is sound, then your body will be sound, and your nature of your behavior will be very sound, everything else will be sound. A positive outlook to life means what? Being grateful to the superiors, being thankful to God for all the gifts that He has given us, being always cheerful, always thinking of serving others, appreciating everyone, encouraging everyone, not finding faults in others, but trying to look good in others, in all people and in situations. So this is a very positive attitude. And the opposite of this is the negative attitude. We call it as an ABC mode, accusing, blaming, and criticizing mode. Or we call it as a BMW mode, blaming, moaning, and wailing mode. So today, in the course of the talk, my attempt would be to share with you whatever little things that I have learned in developing a positive attitude in life. I was just now telling you about 4 types of thoughts. So the positive thoughts and the negative thoughts. Positive thoughts means you have a joyful heart. You have a heart of selfless attitude. And you have a heart which always thinks of being good and doing good for others. On the other hand, negative thoughts means thoughts of envy. If somebody is better than me, I want to pull him down. If somebody is inferior to me, I want to ridicule. You see? This is unhealthy comparison. You see? Healthy comparison means if somebody is better than me, let me learn from them. If somebody is inferior to me, let me help them. That is a healthy comparison. So, doctors have found out that when we harbor negative thoughts, like thoughts of malice towards others, thoughts of injuring others, or thoughts of anger, and thoughts of envy, all these things, they actually do hurt us. They hurt us much more than hurting others. Imagine if someone is carrying a hot coal in the hand and running after someone, and that fellow is running away. So who is suffering more? Is the running away person suffering or the person carrying the coal? Who suffers? Yeah, because of carrying hot coal, you suffer more. In the same manner, this negative thinking hurts us more than hurting others. So if we only can know this, we can be saved from harboring any negative thoughts. So these negative thoughts, doctors say, they make us secrete some hormone called as adrenaline. On the other hand, when you have positive thoughts, then you also secrete another type of hormone called endorphins. So the endorphins are called the natural painkillers, and they are also called as those who are making your immunity systems very sturdy and strong by secreting endorphins. So scientifically we can prove that when we think negative thoughts, you have this medulla oblongata, you have this hypothalamus glands, we call it, from where we have the secretion of the adrenaline. And that is why you will find those people who have negative thoughts, they have a stiff neck and they feel stressed, they feel tense, and all these things. So our thinking has a direct relation to our health, the way we think in life, our outlook to life. It has a direct relationship. So I told you two out of the four, positive and negative. And the third one is necessary thoughts. Like for example, your routine. You're planning for your studies, planning for your career, planning for your life. That is routine, necessary thoughts. And the wasteful thoughts are those like worrying about the past or fearing about the future. Like worrying about the past means, how nice if only this thing happened in this way. That is worrying about the past. Or worrying about the future means, what if this happens? What if that happens? That is worry about that. So if only is past, what if is future. So these two things keep our mind completely preoccupied, and that is called wasteful thoughts. Wasteful thoughts are like a rocking chair. You've seen a rocking chair? Does it progress anywhere? It just keeps on rocking in the same place. So in our life also, we don't progress if we think about the past and future. We have to think of the present. So out of these four thoughts, can any of you tell me which of the thoughts we should retain and which one should we give up? Anybody? How many of these we should keep? How many of it we should give it up? Yes? Which ones should we keep? Sir, can I ask questions also? Oh, I have been given permission to ask you questions. So now I am free to ask you questions now. Yeah? Positive we should keep, another one? Necessary also we should keep, yeah. And the other two we have to give up. Wasteful thoughts and negative thoughts. We have to give up. You are right. So how do we do that? We will need willpower to do that. Although you know what are the right thoughts to hold, what are the unwanted thoughts to be given up, you know the thing, but to do that we need willpower. Before concluding my talk, you should remind me if I don't give answer to this question, how do we develop our willpower? We'll talk about that. You see, when a couple of years ago, me and my friend, we were traveling in US. So I was going to Washington DC University and I was going to Stanford, while my friend went to Massachusetts Institute of Technology. So MIT USA is one of the most famous universities, one of the top ranking universities. So he was supposed to give a seminar on a topic, so the projector was kept there. So when he put on his laptop, the projector wasn't working. So he called for the operator, and they were running here and there, and they couldn't arrange. And then the operator came and said, "I am very sorry, sir. Today the projector is not going to work," he said. And my friend told him, "Okay, throw it and get another piece." The operator said, "Now it's a weekend and all our departments are closed. I am sorry to say you will not get alternative one. And it's better that you just speak on the phone. Speak on the microphone without any projector." So my friend became really wild. He said, "All my presentation is in the computer. I need the slides to be seen what I'm supposed to speak." So he was very irritated. So the operator told him, "Sir, don't become angry. You are from India. You must have learned some lessons on, you know, not becoming angry." So he started giving him upadesh. He said, "Tolerate. Today you have to work without it." And my friend told me he couldn't get angry. Do you know why? Because the topic of the seminar was anger management. You're supposed to teach others how not to become angry. So in our life also, we all come across situations where we face many problems, time to time, and many difficulties. And how do we face them? When we come face to face with them, how do we tackle them? Very first thing I can say, in general, we should have a positive attitude in life, in all walks of life. For example, somebody may take a rose plant and say, "Oh, here is a beautiful rose in a thorny plant." You may say like that. Or you can say, "Hey, here is a thorny bush along with a small rose also." Is it not true? So it all depends on how you see life. Do you see life as a blessing of God with varieties of happinesses and sufferings all arranged in your life? And everything is meant to teach us some good lessons. Nothing is there in our life just like that. It's arranged by God. So in the next few minutes, I would like to speak on when we face problems in life, how should we see them? We should not see the problems as a burden that has come to frighten us. Rather, we should see them as blessings that has come to strengthen us. I'll tell you a real-life example. Once a scientist, he saw a cocoon. You know cocoon? Cocoon they call it, right? Yeah. So a small caterpillar was trying to come out of that cocoon with great difficulty. So the scientist took a blade and he cut it so that the worm could come out very easily. Of course, the worm did come out easily. The only problem was the worm never developed the wings. Because God has arranged the cocoon for the worm to squeeze out and come out in such a way that some liquid oozes out of his body, which causes the wings to grow, colorful wings, by which it flies and becomes a butterfly. But when the scientist cut the cocoon, he did not give the opportunity for the worm to suffer. And because of not suffering, the worm didn't develop wings. No pains, no gains, as we say. So it's God's arrangement that we all are also put through difficulty. Just like you see, when you take a block of marble and you take a chisel and hammer and beat it, at last you get a beautiful murti coming out of it. Similarly, God wants to chip out all the unwanted elements in our system and bring out the beautiful personality within us, our innate potentials that are natural to our souls. See, there are two things, innate and acquired. Innate qualities are those which are already in you. Like rain water, when it is coming out, coming down, it is crystal clear. When it touches the ground, it becomes brownish or blackish. So what is innate? Transparency is innate. And what is acquired? The color that it acquires by touching the ground. Similarly, we all have innate qualities in us. Like to love is an innate quality. To forgive, to be kind, to be compassionate is innate in us. Whereas there are many acquired qualities also we have, which are oftentimes unwanted, which have to be chipped out. So, also, when problems come in your life, it will help you to bring out your virtues that are in you. In Pune, there was a very well-to-do man. He had two sons, grown-up sons. So I think he was about 82 or 83 years old. So one day he called me to his house. So he cried. He told me, when my two sons were of this size, you know, we used to call them as Ram, Lakshman, Judia, you know. They were so friendly. But as they grew up and when they got married, now they have children, now I'm going to divide my property. And he said, they are fighting like a cat and rat. Last 1 week, I lost my sleep. I don't know how to settle. Both my sons want all my properties in the city, Pune city. And none of them want the property in the village. I don't know what to do. They are fighting for the same thing. So then he told me to give a lecture to them. You know what I spoke about? I spoke to them about Bharat Milap. You heard of Bharat Milap? In Ramayana, how Bharat, the brother of Ram, went to the jungle to invite Lord Ram to come back and become the king. And in turn, Ram told whom to become the king? He told Bharat to become the king. And there was a competition between the two brothers, Ram and Bharat. What type of competition was it? Can any of you say? You know about this? Was it a cutthroat competition between Ram and Bharat for the seat? What type of competition was it? Any of you know? Anybody? What was the competition between Ram and Bharat? Was it competition who will become the king? No? Then what was the competition? So Ram wanted who to become the king? Bharat. And Bharat wanted who to become the king? So it was a loving competition, isn't it? He said, you become the king. He said, you become the king. This kind of competition is wanted. Like in my college hostel in IIT, I saw one boy was filling his suitcase. And his suitcase was half empty. So another boy said, hey, your suitcase is half empty. We are from the same village. So I'll put my clothes also into yours. So he put all his things in his suitcase. And once the suitcase was closed, the boy said, hey, your clothes are in mine, so you have to carry the suitcase. That boy said, no, it's not mine, it's yours. You carry it. So this is actually cutthroat competition. You know, both the fellows want to push off the burden on each other. And if they both were genuine friends, what they would do? He will say, because it's my suitcase, I won't mind carrying your luggage also. Whereas the other one would say, I have put my luggage into yours, so I will carry the suitcase. That is loving competition. You all are able to know the difference between the two? You understand the difference? So Ram and Lakshman, Bharat and Ram had a loving competition. At last Bharat agreed on Ram's order. Yes, I will go and I will not become the king. I'll make your Paduka the king. He kept the Paduka on the throne, and because he knew Lord Ram would sleep on the ground, so Bharat dug in the ground and slept underground. When Ram would sleep on the cart, Bharat would sleep on the ground. When Ram slept on the ground, Bharat would sleep underground. Can you imagine? And he knew Ram wouldn't get nice food. So he also ate barley and urine, cow urine. You know, cow urine and barley, that's all he ate, all the 14 years. So when I told this story, both the brothers, they were in tears. At the end of the story, they told me, now we will not fight. We are ready to accept whatever our father allots to us. You see, this 1 hour story from Ramayana was a turning point in their lives. In this way, when we face problems in life, it can bring out the innate virtues in your heart to the surface. Another thing, I don't know whether you all are aware, just a week ago, one MBA student from Symbiosis, one girl committed suicide in Pune. Maybe some of you may be aware. Very unfortunate. So the parents are completely grief-stricken. I met them also. I went to their home and did a kirtan and did a pravachan also. I was very sorry to hear news. Why should the MBA student who has a very bright career ahead of them should commit suicide? So the reason they said was there was some kind of competition for job you know, she wanted the particular job and it was taken away by someone else, which is likely to happen in this world, you see. You know, sometimes you win, sometimes somebody else wins, always. But it's very unfortunate that one goes to the extent of committing suicide. That means one is unable to face failure with courage. This is very important to teach our students. I heard one Winston Churchill's very interesting statement. Winston Churchill says, it takes courage to stand up on the stage and speak. It equally takes the same courage to sit down and hear. So all of you are also courageous, because you are sitting patiently and hearing a long-winded lecture. Huh? So it takes a lot of courage, and 3 full days you are ready to sit and hear. So congratulations to all of you also. Similarly, it takes courage to climb up on the number one, you know, and get a gold medal in a sports game. But when failures come, do we have the courage to face it with sobriety? That's the real question. So in life, sometimes there'll be ups, sometimes there'll be downs. We have to be willing to face all kinds of, you know, adversities in life. But one thing can be assured, God will never give you a test which is beyond you. Like when I was in my 8th standard, you know, the mathematics appeared difficult at the beginning, it became easy by the time I completed 8th standard. Then 8th standard holidays, I saw the 9th standard book. It appeared a little difficult. But then once when I went to 9th standard, it became very easy. You all have this experience? So when I was in my 10th standard, I saw the 11th standard book. It was saying, you know, delta x tending to 0, you know, triple integral, the elongated S. I was wondering, what is this? You know, looking like a camel's head, you know? It was a new thing. I've never seen this kind of elongated summation form. But when I went to 11th standard, it became very easy. So God will never give you a problem that you cannot solve in life. Actually, if we take His help, life becomes very easy for us. Surely, the tests are not given by God to fail us so that He can clap hands and laugh at us. That is not the goal. All of you, think for a moment. Are your teachers giving you a test to see you failing? Do they want to ridicule you? Do they want to see you thrown out of the college? Your teacher wants to see you grow through the tests. That is the purpose. God also wants to see us growing in our maturity by facing the problems. Another beautiful thing with this world is the problems are not permanent. Problems agama apayino anityaha tam stitikshasva bharata. Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, the problems in your life, they come, they stay for a while and they go away. Just like the seasons come and go away. You don't have to worry about them. They will come to pass. If there is some difficulty, wait for some time, it will go away. After the dark night, there is always sun rising in the morning. Is it not? So Krishna says, don't worry, learn to tolerate them patiently. We need patience. So I heard an interesting story. A king asked for the best gift from his citizens, which he would like to reward. Many, many people came and gave many gifts to the king. Somebody gave the best of the cloth. Somebody gave, you know, best of the things they had. But king ultimately rewarded one person who brought him a gold ring in which it was engraved, "This too shall come to pass." That was written. What is it? "This too shall come to pass." Now, what is so special about this statement? The king liked it very much. Do you know why? One day the king had conquered a big kingdom and he was in very great happiness and he was becoming very arrogant and proud. And then when he looked at the ring, it said, "This too shall come to pass." That means your success also may come to pass. Don't be too proud. One day all this kingdom will be taken away from you. You will go bare hands. Then his pride became diminished by that. Another day, the king was in a very morose mood. Sometimes we are also in low spirits. Mood out, people say. You know, in India, they call it mood out. So he was in a mood out situation. So when he looked at his ring, "This too shall come to pass." He was very happy because this mood out, I will not be mood out always. This mood out situation will be gone. Again, I'll be happy. So in this way, the problems of this world are not permanent for you. They come, they stay for a while, and they go away. Learn to tolerate them. Yeah. And also, the fate, oftentimes people talk about good luck and bad luck in life. There is something called fate, and there is also free will. Consider a cow tied to a pole. The cow has free will within that radius to graze and eat the grass and all that. And the cow has the fate, which means the cow cannot go beyond that radius. Is it not? So that is the fate of the cow. Now God has also given you some fate. What do you call as fate? Certain things you don't like in your life. All of you sitting here, think about students who are more intelligent than you. And you will also see students who are less intelligent than you. You will have. There are students sitting here who are more wealthier than you. There are some who are less wealthier than you. There are others who are more handsome than you. There are some who are less handsome than you. You will always see that in life. So every one of you is given your quota by God, which is just fit for you, for you to learn very good lessons in life. If the cow becomes a good cow, then the radius of the rope will be increased. That means free will be increased. But if the farmer is coming to see the cow and the cow is doing like this, sometimes you've seen the cow, you know, then the radius will be reduced. Fate will be increased more. Similarly, you break God's laws, what will happen? Our restriction, fate will be increased more. You follow his laws properly, then more freedom. So our free will is increased to the degree it's very easy to understand this. Another little example. You see a boy, once a father called his son and he made him sit on his lap and showed his whole estate outside. He said, "My estate is worth about 50 crores, my son, and I'm going to write it in your name." "Really, father? All this 50 crores worth estate in my name?" He said, "You are my only son. What else will I do? I'm going to write it off in your name." Son was very happy. And every day the father was giving him 5 rupees, you know, like a pocket money. So the boy would go. And after some time, the father came to know his son has started smoking nowadays. Father became angry. He cut his pocket money. He said, "No pocket money anymore for you now." So the son rebelled against the father. He said, "Papa, you said you'll give me 50 crores worth property. I can't trust you. Today you are not even giving me 5 rupees per day. You are going to give me 50 crores worth property. I think you're telling me good stories," he said. And the father said, "My son, because I want to give you 50 crore worth property, that is why I'm not giving you 5 rupees now." He said, son said, "What does it mean?" Father said, "If you smoke like this, you will die before me. And how will I be able to write 50 crores in your name? So I want to see you saved. I want to see you alive after me so I can write it in your name." Similarly, in our life also, sometimes according to our good luck or bad luck or fate, certain things are restricted for us, which we should know is for our own good. And my last point is, when problems come, if you are alone, then you are likely to succumb to something like what this girl did, committing suicide. Imagine there is a big thunderbolt coming from the sky, cloud. If somebody is walking on the road, if it comes on that person's head, he is burnt into ashes. Is it not? On the other hand, if the thunderbolt is received in a lightning receiver, which is oftentimes kept in the top of some big houses, then the lightning receiver can receive it and send it to the bhumi, and the person's life is saved. So God is like a lightning receiver. He can take any amount of tensions from your life. In fact, real intelligence is, you hand over your attention to him and you take his happiness to you. That is real intelligence. You will see in the cover page of Bhagavad Gita, you will see Arjuna is sitting in the chariot and Krishna is riding the chariot. It has a very great significance, this picture. It has a very great lesson to be learned. You know, Arjuna told Krishna, "My dear Lord, I want to hand over the ropes of my life to you. You ride the chariot and take me wherever you feel is appropriate for me to go in the battle." And having handed over his life to Krishna, what do you think Arjuna did? Was he sleeping in the chariot? No, he also took initiative. He took the bow, he took the arrow also, and he fought the battle very valiantly also. So this is called do your best and leave the rest. Doing your best is you take initiative in life. And then you leave the rest to God, the results to God. Because after we do our best, whatever results come is, you know, God's prasad. We have to accept it. Sometimes even after we work hard, things may not go the way we want them to go. But then we accept it as God's grace for some higher plan because he knows what is best for everybody. If we can accept our life as a gift of God, then we will never squander it by committing suicide, or we will never waste it by constantly, repeatedly meditating on our worries. So there are 4 R's of life: the roles that you play, the routine you go through, the responsibilities you shoulder, and relationships that you cherish. Like, for example, what role all of you are playing? You have a role as a son of somebody, daughter of somebody. And then when you get married, you are husband or wife of somebody. Similarly, you have a role in the office or the college also to play. These are the roles. And also there is a routine every day you go through from morning to night, and responsibilities that you take up also in different positions, and the relationships that you cherish. In all these 4 R's, we should emanate positivity, positive qualities in life. Because the innate qualities are all positive. If you see Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, whenever he talks of his devotees, he's talking of qualities only. 12 chapter, 13 to 20, 13 chapter, 8 to 12, 16 chapter, first 7 verses, all are qualities he's talking. So these qualities are innate in us, and these qualities can be brought out, like a volcanic eruption coming out. We can bring out these qualities. Right now, many of us, we are a blend of positive and negative qualities. Do you know why? Where did you acquire these things from? 4 things. From your parents and grandparents, from your teachers during your school days, from your social circle, your peers, friends, and from the books that you read, TV that you watched, movies that you have seen, novels that you have studied. We all have developed a certain type of personality, traits. And our mind is filled with both plus and minus type of qualities. So the scriptures say that we have to clean up our chitta, which is consisting of bad traits or negative traits like envy, anger, greed, illusion, pride, lust, and all these things. As long as these viruses are there, we can't be happy. You all know a microprocessor? You know, when you program a microprocessor, the servo motors are made to move according to the programming. Our hands and legs are like servo motors. And then whatever program you give in the mind, that accordingly our hands, legs behave. It's called a Gigo principle. Good in, good out. Garbage in, garbage out. You see? So, how do we cleanse the heart? There are various ways. One of the ways will be shown by Vajjadwar Prabhu now. A very beautiful, melodious, devotional music. He's a very good player in piano, harmonium, and he will sing. So by hearing the sound vibration, which is a holy sound, and by repeating it, and by regularly hearing it, it acts like a virus scanner and remover. It scans the dirty things in our heart and it removes it. And you may ask, what is the proof? And the proof is, when Swami Prabhupada went to America, there were many hippies living in Bowery. So Swami Prabhupada gave the same thing to them, same treatment he gave them, and they all became pure at heart. Those who are eating cow flesh, they stopped eating even onion and garlic now. Those who are always drinking rum and all types of beer and liquor and everything, they have even stopped drinking coffee and tea now. Yeah, they have become purified completely. So you will see that these people who at one time were very degraded in their habits, they all became... So Prabhupada said, Swami Prabhupada, who started the ISKCON Society, he said, somebody asked him, Swamiji, what have you done by coming to West? He said, I have made the hippies into happies, he said. Now they have become happy in life. When our heart is clean, we can be happy. Otherwise, we can't be happy. So, I would like to conclude with this. And again, I would like to congratulate the organizers for this wonderful program, for all of you. And take this 3-day program very seriously. Adopt many of the practical things that you learn in your life. And I wish you all grand success in all your earnest endeavors. Thank you very much. He reminded me of the question which I said, how do you develop the willpower? I told you that I'll answer it. I'll tell you. You see, our intelligence has two functions, determination and discrimination. What are the two qualities of intelligence? Determination and discrimination. With these two things, our intelligence can make decisions, while the mind is subordinate to the intelligence. See, the mind has impurity. Our senses have impurity, but the intelligence has the determination and discrimination, and the willpower resides in the intelligence. With that willpower, we can subdue the mind and subdue the senses. For example, say I have to cross the road and go to the college so that I will punctually reach the college. The mind is saying, run across the road now and reach the college. But the intelligence says, hey, wait a minute. There are so many cars and buses going so fast. If you run to cross the road, you may never reach the other side of the road. Huh? You may face an accident. Wait a minute. Let the signal drop and then you can move. So intelligence offers proper guidance, while the mind always is like a child, naughty child, misguiding us. So the intelligence has the willpower. And how do we develop the willpower? So there are two ways to develop willpower. One way is we have to increase our discrimination by studying the wisdom literatures, like Bhagavad Gita, Bible, or Quran. These are not just religious scriptures. They also have many valuable tips for us to lead a pure life. So our determination to stick to the pure platform comes from study of wisdom literatures. Even Chanakya Niti, or Subhashitams, or Mahabharata, Ramayana, Panchatantra, all these things teach us very nice things. So many a times we don't have the wisdom. In the modern times, we are very busy with our material science. So we should devote some time to study those literatures. That's one thing. That gives you discrimination. And we do mantra meditation. We chant on the mala. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So this is called a japam, we call it. And kirtanam is the one which he will show. Both is japam and kirtan, they also build willpower. They cleanse the impurities in our mind. How it is, it's a spiritual method. You do it and see it for yourself. There are also other methods people do, like meditation and omkar and other things. Dhyana yogis, ashtanga yogis do. And people also chant other mantras like Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Like Christians chant Hail Mary, you know, Buddhists chant Namu Abhidha Butsu. They also have, Muslims also do namaz. So the prayer to God, especially carrying the holy names of God, in a repeated fashion when we do, it will cleanse our mind and increase our determination and willpower. Thank you very much.